Indeed. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of A Vision for You. Today is Sunday, November 16th, 2025. My name is Leah M., recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. The share ID numbers for Friday, November 14th, are the following. For the 7 a.m. Eastern Big Book Study, 22,954, that's 22954. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Big Book Study, 22,955, that's 22955. This morning, A Vision for You presents Step 10, Feel Better Without Food. Step 10 states, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. With Step 10, the Big Book tells us sanity has returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We no longer feel compelled to seek ease and comfort in cellophane bags and bakery boxes. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. The process of looking at our character defects and our wrong that we began in the fourth step continues with this step. It is a lifetime occupation of evaluation and correction. The Big Book states that we have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This step tells us how to maintain and grow the new state of serenity and freedom we have achieved through the application of the steps. We are practicing the art of living undisturbed. Working Step 10 means adopting a way of life that requires continuous commitment and effort. The difficulties and the rewards of Step 10 come from applying it to our lives, day after day, month after month, year after year. It is an essential part of the program of recovery and of what the Big Book calls a design for living that keeps the promises coming true in our lives. Joining us today to speak on Step 10 is Dawn B., a recovered compulsive overeater from California. Dawn is dedicated to our design for living and to carrying the message of recovery. And it's with great appreciation and always a delight to have Dawn B. on the line this morning. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Leah, for that beautiful introduction. It's such a great way to start this morning. Thank you to everyone for being here today. I am so grateful to be with you. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today, the title of my talk is Step 10, Feel Better Without Food. And today, I'm going to be sharing with you my experience, strength, and hope with Step 10. I will be sharing examples of my Step 10s, where I have received strength, inspiration, and direction from my higher power, who has all knowledge and power. And I will show by how following the 10-step directions, I have begun to sense the flow of God's Spirit. It's 10 steps have helped me get into God's flow for my life. It has been a course correction for me where I align with God's flight plan for my life. And it really, Step 10 really, really helps me feel better. And today I'm going to be sharing with you the most helpful things for me to feel better, to feel happy, joyous, free, and peace-filled without my alcoholic foods. So today, Before I start talking about step 10, I'm going to tell you who I am, and then I'm going to tell you how I learned to start connecting with my higher power, feeling God's flow in my life before I even knew how to do a step 10. So I'm going to be talking with a little bit of help for people who are just starting in the program, who are with us here today, who aren't yet to step 10. So hopefully I'll be providing you with a technique that I've used and that the early people of AA used as well to help them to connect with God. Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. I started back in Overeaters Anonymous back when it was early 1978 in January. I came into the rooms when I was 19 years old, and I'm now 66 years old. And I am one of the slowest learners you'll ever come across, because it took me 34 years in the rooms before I was able to be abstinent for any length of period of time. And so if you're out there and you're struggling, and maybe even for many years, and you have not been able to get abstinent, not been able to get this program, do not worry, because you're in good company. I'm here for you. And there are many others as well. But now, all thanks be to God, I have been abstaining for 13 years, almost 14 years. So after 34 years of not getting it, it has been God doing for me what I could not do for myself. And I've experienced the miracle of recovery now for almost 14 years. And I'm down over 120, 125 pounds from my top weight. I really don't know how much weight I've lost because I stopped weighing myself when I was at my heaviest. But now I am at a slender, normal body weight, and I'm abstaining and doing so happily. So the food isn't calling to me. It's not a struggle. I'm not white-knuckling it. And I simply never, ever would have believed that that would ever be possible, to not be white-knuckling it, to not be feeling like I'm underwater, holding my breath, just waiting to get above water so I could breathe again. But that absolutely is the reality for me, day after day, year after year. Abstinence is simply the most loving thing that I can possibly do for myself. And any success that I've had in the program has been God's success. It is not mine. It is absolutely God doing for me what I was absolutely powerless to do on my own. I'm also a wife and a mother. I have four young adult children. Three of them have autism. Both my sons are of the severity that they'll probably not be able to live on their own. The two of my adult children that are higher functioning also have they have mental illness, schizoaffective disorder. And my husband is a cancer survivor on a feeding tube with chronic health issues. All of our four children continue to live with us, and they are such a blessing. And the truth of the matter is, I am living a life beyond my wildest dreams, not because my circumstances have changed, but because my attitude about my circumstances has been transformed through the working of the steps and through the relationship with my higher power. And this is truly a beautiful, beautiful way of life. Well, I'm not going to be spending a lot of time today talking about my story. I did do a special edition that was called From My Way to God's Way back in August 4th of 2024, where I go into more details about my story. So please refer to that special edition if you'd like more information on that. What I am going to be doing is telling you about how this program teaches me to feel better. So when I come into program, I was trying to feel better by using food. And it truly was like chasing a mirage, because it really doesn't satisfy. I end up with a mouthful of sand, and I realize through reading in the big book especially in the doctor's opinion, that this will kill me. Trying to feel better with food, it doesn't satisfy, it's not helpful, it is a life or death situation for me. And I had to get to that point where I knew that it was life or death before I was able to move from those 34 years of not getting abstinent for any length of period of time to being abstinent. I finally got the message to the core of my being that this will take me out. And all I have to look forward to was a tremendous amount of pain and a lot of suffering and an early death. Or I needed to clearly identify my alcoholic foods, the behaviors, and put them down 100% and work them like my life depends on it, because it absolutely does. And that's what I did. All thanks be to God and God doing for me what I could not do for myself. So when I put down the food then and started working the steps, I realized that underneath the food, I'm trying to feel better by trying to control others and circumstances, trying to get my husband to be different, my children to be different, my life to be different. That's how I was trying to feel better, by trying to control those. But I found out as well that that's like chasing a mirage. It does not satisfy. I end up with a fistful of sand. And it says in the big book that this will kill me. When I forget and try to live on my own abilities, when I try to play God, rather than connecting and relying on God's abilities, I make my life and the lives of those around me miserable. And this way, it will take me out. It says it will kill me on page 62 of the big book. You know, this is a life or death issue for me. It's important for me to be seeking my higher power. So food isn't the answer. Controlling others isn't the answer. Trying to play God is not the answer to feeling better. But what this program is for me is a beautiful invitation to seek to feel better from the one and only real source that truly satisfies, and that is my higher power. Seeking my higher power's will and my higher power's way is for me the absolute one way for feeling better that isn't like chasing a mirage. I don't end up with sand. And the big book says that not only will this way not kill me, but when I seek to feel better by seeking my higher power's presence and contact, I end up with a peace that is not dependent on circumstances. And that's a beautiful, beautiful way of life. So seeking my higher power for me and connecting with my higher power's presence, with God's flow, is absolutely the one way that has helped me to feel best. And so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to describe for you, before I jump into talking about step 10, I'm going to share with you a way that I found that really helped me connect with my higher power and feel better early on, before I knew how to do a step 10. And it's also one of the ways that the early members of AA used for them to connect with their higher powers. There was a study that was done back when Bill Wilson was trying to raise money for AA. This was before the traditions were developed, where he was trying to get money from Mr. Rockefeller, and he was trying to raise money, you know, to try to get AA started. And so before Mr. Rockefeller would give his finances, he sent out his secretary to study AA and figure out why it was so effective, why it was helping so many people, when before, for alcoholics, you know, there really wasn't anything that was helpful. And so this secretary called Frank Amos went out and interviewed all these people, interviewed Dr. Bob, Bill, interviewed early AA members to figure out what was it in AA that made it so effective. And one of the things that he came up with that was absolutely vital was the fact that they were having morning devotions. They were seeking their higher power. And one of the things, they would have this thing called quiet time in the morning. And one of the main things that they would do during the quiet time was to seek God through talking to God, seeking God's guidance. And so what they would do is they would pose a question to God, to their higher powers, however they understood their higher powers, and then write down anything that they felt that came into their minds, that how God would be answering them. And this was a practice that was done by, in the Oxford groups. It was called two-way prayer. So I learned about this, and they said that this was, you know, super, super helpful. So I thought, well, I'm going to try this. And so I came up with my own rendition of seeking God, you know, through two-way prayer. And what I did was started writing letters to God. So how I would do that, and this was before I knew how to do a step 10 that was super, super helpful in connecting with my higher power. So what I'd do is I would take a piece of paper, get out a pen, and it was my quiet time, my devotion time. So I'd read some scripture or read some, you know, material, devotional, anything that I found to be where it would be, you know, something that I would enjoy. So I'd read something, and then I would pick out a phrase that jumped out at me when I was reading this material. And I would write that at the top of the piece of paper. And then I would write, "Dear God," and I would basically list all my fears and worries. I would just pour my heart out to God. So number one, you know, whatever I was worried about. Number two, next thing I was afraid of. Number three, anything I was worried or concerned about. So I went through the list. And when I got to the bottom of the list, I would go back at the top, and then I would visualize myself turning this over to God and putting it in God's hands. And when I did that, however I would visualize it, I would then cross it off the list. Like, okay, this is no longer mine. I am giving this to God. And however you want to visualize that, for me, you know, sometimes I visualize myself just taking a package into the post office, putting it on the counter, and just watching my higher power, watching God just take this box and put it behind God. So God's got it now. Or I could also visualize myself just putting this issue, you know, if it was about, you know, finances or whatever it was, just putting this whole issue into God's hands and watching God take it from me, and so it was no longer mine. And then I would cross it off the list. And I worked my way all the way to the bottom of the list. And then once I got to the bottom of the list, turning it over, okay, it's no longer mine, I've given it to God, that was a lovely relief. And then when I got to the bottom of the list, I would say, okay, if God were to speak directly to me regarding these issues, what might God say? And then I would just pause and open my mind and just write down anything that came to me, you know, whatever it was. And that practice, I have to say, was the most helpful thing, the most helpful way of connecting with my higher power, coming into intimate relationship with my higher power, learning about, you know, God, that the most helpful activity that I have done that helped me, you know, grow my spiritual life. And it was a beautiful thing. So I would suggest that if people, before they know how to do a 10-step, want to feel better, you know, right away and connect with their higher powers, that really, really, really helped me. And to this day, it's something that I do. This was back, you know, some 40 years ago that I started this. And it has just been a beautiful thing to turn to when I'm, you know, feeling, you know, some kind of emotional disturbance. before I learned how to do a 10-step. That is what I would do, is write it out in a letter to God, turn it over to God, and then listen. Ask for God to speak to me. Say, you know, if God were to speak directly to me regarding these issues that I've just turned over, what might God say to me? And if that's difficult, I would say, okay, if infinite love were to speak directly to me, what would God say to me? What would infinite love want me to know? What would infinite love want me to know? And that's a beautiful thing to do. All right. Very good. Well, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump into step 10. And the reason I told you about this letters to God practice is because I have used this practice of, you know, asking, okay, if God were to speak directly to me regarding this issue, what might God say? Such powerful, amazingly, infinitely loving things poured out onto the paper that I was just shocked and amazed at how much love God had for me and how God cared for me and truly loved me. It was shocking. You know, it says in the big book, he stood in the presence of infinite power, infinite love when this person had this spiritual experience. And so hearing, being in the presence, putting myself in the presence of God's love as best I can and asking for that love to speak to me was a transformational experience. It truly was. And I've continued to practice this two-way prayer in my 10 steps and throughout my program. So it has really helped me. So what I'm going to do now is I am going to be sharing with you something from the AA 12 and 12. And it talks about using prayer along with our self-examination. It says on page 98 in the AA 12 and 12, there's a direct link among self-examination, which would be, you know, step 10, step 4, self-examination and meditation and prayer. Taking separately, these practices can bring much relief and benefit, but when they are logically related and interwoven, the result is an unshakable foundation for life. And truly, step 10, when I am doing a step 10 and the relief that I feel from doing that, and when I use prayer and combine it with self-examination, asking God for God's perspective, asking God for, you know, to speak to me along with my self-examination, that has been something that has helped me to feel so much better and just to really has brought about an awareness of God that has been transformational. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to share with you some of my 10 steps and tell you how I do that process. Now, there's really no wrong way to do a 10th step. The only wrong way is to not do it at all. And what it says on page 84 in the big book is, this thought brings us to step 10, which suggests that we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. So this, the fact that they're saying continue twice there, for me is really a message that, yeah, I'm going to be continuing what I've already been doing in working the steps in my step 4 through 9. I'm going to be continuing that and to set right any new mistakes as I go along. I vigorously commence this way of living as I clean up the past. So I'm really working at this self-examination. And I am using this to bring myself into alignment with God's will, God's way. Step 10 is a way for me to look at anything that might be popping up, like my resentment, my fear. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and read it here. So we have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. So I've entered the world of the spirit. What does that mean? I've entered the world of the spirit. For me, that means I have entered in through the steps, the way of life where God is in charge. God is running the show. So no longer am I trying to run the show. Do I forget? Do I try to run the show? Do I try to play the higher power? Yes, I do. But step 10 brings me back into alignment with God's flow, God's way of life. So I've entered the world of the spirit where God is in charge. God is running the show. My next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for my lifetime. So I continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And when these crop up, I ask God at once to remove them. And I discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if I have harmed someone. Then I resolutely turn my thoughts to someone I can help. Love and tolerance of others is my code. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone. Wow, that's beautiful. So relaxing even to say that. We have ceased fighting anything or anyone. So it really brings me into God's most loving presence, where God really is in charge. God is running the show. And God's will is really my only goal here. So by this time, sanity will have returned. And I seldom think about liquor or food, my alcoholic foods. If tempted, I recoil as if from a hot flame. I react sanely and normally, and I find that this has happened automatically. I see that my new attitude towards liquor or my alcoholic foods has been given without any thought or effort on my part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. I'm not fighting it. Neither am I avoiding temptation. I feel as though I have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. I have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for me. I'm neither cocky nor am I afraid. That is my experience. That is how I react as long as I keep in fit spiritual condition. And connecting with God, asking for God's perspective through prayer and combining prayer with my 10th step really helps me to keep in that intimate communication with my higher power. So it's easy for me to let up on this spiritual program of action and rest on my laurels. I'm headed for trouble if I do, for alcohol or my alcoholic foods and behaviors is a subtle foe. I am not cured of my alcoholism. I'm not cured of my compulsive overeating. What I really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. So my spiritual condition, my spiritual conscious contact with my higher power is of utmost importance here. And I'm given a daily reprieve, which is like a reprieve is like a suspension of a death sentence. I'm an addict, and there is, there's not a lot of hope. There wasn't a lot of hope for addicts. But because of the power of my higher power and coming in contact to that through these steps, I am given a way out. I am transformed by coming into contact with my higher power. It has literally changed my life and given me that reprieve of this death sentence that was, for sure for all, for most all alcoholics and addicts of the day. So I, as an addict, have been given this incredible grace of God's love, which coming into contact with that love has absolutely transformed me and has given me this new life and this spiritual transformation, which has saved my life. So every day, and this for me is like one of the most important paragraphs in the big book, and it really touches my heart and speaks to me about the importance of my 10th step. Every day is a day when I must carry the vision of God's will into all my activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. So these are thoughts which must go with me constantly. And I can exercise my willpower along this line all I wish. It is the proper use of the will. So every day is a day when I must carry the vision of God's will into all my activities. So what this means for me is I am closing my eyes, literally closing my eyes from, you know, how I think it needs to look, how things need to go, my life needs to go. And I'm basically saying, I am blind. My higher power sees perfectly. I don't know what needs to happen next in order for God's will to be done, in order for God's greater good to be the end result. So I'm going to close my eyes and I'm going to rely on God's vision, on God's way of seeing things. And I'm going to be asking myself through my 10th step for God's perspective, for God to see this situation more like, help me to see this situation more like you see it, God. Help me to see this other person more like you see them, God. Help me to love this person as you would delight in me loving them, Heavenly Father. Please help me. Give me your words. Help me to see my daughter more like you see her, God. Help me to see my husband more like you see him, God. Help me to love him as you would delight in me loving him. Help me to love my children and talk to them as you would delight in me doing so. You know, God is my director, so God, please give me the words. Help me how to, show me how to act in this situation. May your will be my only goal. And that is what a 10th step helps me with, is not relying on my perspective, but relying on God's perspective and asking God for God's perspective, for help to see the situation more like you see it. It's relaxing even to say that. And how can I best serve thee, God? Thy will, not mine, be done. You know, we say that a lot, thy will, not mine, be done. And for me, that is just has been so helpful in the most challenging times of my life to seek God's will, God's way. And it even says that in the big book. And it's on page 103. I'm sorry, in the AA 12 and 12, on page 103. It says, the surest help of all. So my surest help of all is my search for God's will, not my own, in a moment of stress. That has been super, super helpful. So, and the 10 steps helps me with that. It helps me to seek God's will, God's way, to get in alignment with God's flow in my life. So now I'm going to, and this, as we do this, this is the proper use of the will. And this is a good use for my willpower, to be seeking God's will, God's way, not my own. And that is the essence of the 10th step. So I'm going to share with you now some of my 10th steps. So what I typically start with is the, I'll say the third step prayer. And again, is this the ultimate way to do a 10th step? No, it is not. The ultimate way for someone to do a 10th step is the way that helps them to feel better. So if your way of doing a 10th step is working for you and you feel so much better after doing it, please continue with that way. And if you can get any pointers from how I do it, fantastic. But I encourage you to just find a way that is most loving for you to do your 10 steps and to do those just like that. So I typically start with a third step prayer, and then I say what I'm resentful at, and I try to keep that and the causes to 19 words or less, like it says in the big book. So I'm going to just start out with this one. I'm resentful at not being able to understand my husband when he speaks due to his radiation from his cancer treatments many years ago. It's preventing him from being able to speak and be understood. So the causes, I'm relying on my husband for my sense of security, my sense of well-being, rather than my higher power. So this affects my self-esteem, my security, ambitions, personal relations, and yes, fear is involved. So I'm basically using the form here that I use for my fourth step. And for me, that's part of the continuing what I have done, the continue that it says in the first part of step 10. So I'm continuing what I did. Do you need to use a four-step form? No, you don't. Just do it however is most loving for you. But that's what I do because I get distracted and off course. So this affects my security, ambitions, personal relations. Yes, fear is involved. God, my thinking in this area is perhaps spiritually sick, spiritually developing. Please direct my thinking. Help it to be more helpful. Save me from being angry and afraid. Help me to avoid retaliation or argument. Thy will, not mine, be done. Amen. I'm selfish because I'm trying to play the director and life is not following my script. I'm wanting things my way. I'm not accepting life on life's terms. I'm resisting reality. I want special treatment. I want God to play favorites. And here what I'm doing is I'm reading down where I'm getting these things is from a list of character defects where it goes into more detail. And if you want more information on that, I can talk with you offline about that if you want to contact me. But for me, it's just helpful to break it down to give me possibilities of how I'm selfish or dishonest. And then I also add in ways it's not on this list that where I'm selfish and dishonest. So I'm wanting God to play favorites. I want special treatment. I'm also selfish because I want more than my share. I've been with my husband for 33 years and I want more. And I want to look good as his wife. I'm dishonest because I'm saying that I know better than God how life needs to be going and this should not be happening. But the truth is I have no clue what needs to happen in order for God's greater good to be the end result. I'm telling myself I have no choice. I have to be upset over this. But the truth is I absolutely do have a choice. I don't need to be upset. My response and attitude is entirely my choice, my responsibility, my free will. I'm making this mean. And this is really helpful. If under the dishonesty section, if I can find anything that I'm telling myself that may not be true and then write that out, and then if I can write, listen for God's truth and ask God for the truth. So I'm telling myself, I'm telling myself that I can't do life if I'm not able to understand all that my husband says. But the truth is, after asking my higher power, is that I can do all things through God who gives me the ability, and I can rely on God's abilities, not my abilities. And God can give me all that I need to be able to do God's will as God would delight in it being done. That's the truth. Is God's not going to lead me to something without giving me everything that I need to be able to make it through that. So also under the dishonesty section, I made it mean. I can ask myself, what am I making this mean? What am I making this situation mean? And then write that down. I'm making it mean that this is a tragedy. This is a really bad thing. And then I can pause and ask to see the situation more like God sees it. So after asking my higher power, the truth is So I'm saying it's a tragedy, it's a bad thing. But the truth is, after asking my higher power, is that I can't tell the difference between a tragedy and a blessing. And what I have often thought is a tragedy has turned out to be such an amazing blessing because of all the learning and growth that has taken place as a result. So, like it says in the big book, God is everything or God is nothing. What is my choice to be? So if God is everything, that means infinite love is everything or infinite love is nothing. So if infinite love is everything, then infinite love must be working even in this. And I can trust that. So I'm self-seeking because I'm trying to play the higher power myself and force my will. I'm trying to get my value and my security from my husband's ability to speak rather than from my higher power. I am, and for my husband to feel, you know, his happiness, trying to get my value from and security from my husband being happy and rather than from my higher power. And I'm playing the victim, but I'm also trying to play the savior here. So under the frightened, how am I frightened? I'm afraid of scarcity, of not having enough time, not being able to hear, time to be like a foot away from my husband and to be able to really hear what he's saying. I'm afraid of my inadequacy, of becoming overwhelmed, my powerlessness, afraid that I'm not doing enough, afraid of setting healthy boundaries, as far as not allowing, you know, any frustration or grief that might be happening through the loss of his speech to, you know, affect my mind throughout the day, the setting the healthy boundaries in my mind, keeping my thinking on my higher power. I'm afraid, bottom line, of relying on God alone for my sense of ease and comfort, my safety, my security, my value, my self-esteem. Afraid of the future. So under the inconsiderate portion, how have I been inconsiderate? I've been inconsiderate when I haven't paused to ask to see the situation more like God sees it, see my husband more like God sees him. So when I do that, when I ask, you know, have I considered this from God's perspective? So when I do that and pause and write down anything that comes to me, I am made aware that infinite love, you know, infinite love is everything. Is God is everything or God is nothing. So infinite love must be working even in this. And I'm made aware that life is a school. I am here to learn. And my challenges are my classes. So what is it in this situation that I can learn from? What's here for me to learn? And I can pay close attention. This is not meaningless suffering. This is not meaningless challenges. I can see this challenge as an invitation to a deeper level of surrender. And it's just relaxing even to say that. This challenge is a beautiful gift because I can use it to go to God. It is an invitation to a deeper level of surrender and practice making God's will my only goal. So whatever your will is, God, even if it's the last thing that I want, if this is your will, I accept it. I welcome it, and I say thank you. May your will be my only goal. May your will be done, not mine. I'm feeling better already. So then you'll notice in the big book how after every resentment, you'll notice that fear is in parentheses. So after I do a resentment, I always ask myself, what fear is giving this resentment energy? What fear is, giving this resentment energy? What am I most afraid of here? So I ask myself, what am I most afraid of? And that's what I then do a fear form on. So what am I most afraid of? I'm afraid that my husband will get frustrated and cease talking and that he'll become depressed. So why do I have this fear? Because my husband is my foxhole buddy. He's my rock. He's my best friend. And as I say that, I'm just out of gratitude. I'm just overwhelmed with gratitude because before program, you know, I was a rager. My husband was someone I didn't even want to be in the same room with at times. And just the miracle and the blessing of program. So as I'm saying this, I'm just, you know, moved with gratitude. So, but I'm keeping this, trying to keep my why do I have a fear to 19 words or less as well. So he, you know, my husband is my best friend, like I said, and that he is someone that I always say, I want to be more like him when I grow up, because even though he doesn't have a program, he's amazing. So where is my trust and reliance? It's on my finite self. Does self-reliance work? No. God, please remove my fear and direct my attention to what you would have me be. God would have me be focusing on what all the infinite ways, infinite reasons that I have to be grateful. God would have me be making a list of all these blessings, of keeping my focus on these before I speak to my husband, before I speak to others. God would have me be staying in the present moment. God would have me be feeling my feelings, welcoming them, and not pushing them away. God would have me be finding in my body where I'm holding those feelings and just relaxing. Relaxing into it and welcoming these feelings. Relaxing and releasing these to God, saying, go of my desire for security, affection, control, and embracing this moment as it is. Welcome, welcome. God would have me be saying to, Donnie, and this is what I say. When I'm listening to God, I say, Donnie, eyes on me, sweet one. Eyes on me. Look at me, sweet Donnie. Look at me. And this is where I'm saying, you know, if God were to speak directly to me, what would God say to me? So this is the part where I'm going into that. Sweet Donnie, eyes on me, precious daughter. Eyes on me, sweet one. Look at me. Let's sit together in this chair. Curl up here, sweetheart, and just let me hold you. Lay your little head down, Donnie. I have got you, sweet one. And I've got this situation. I've got this handled already. So you, sweet one, just get to relax here with me. I am going to be providing you with all that you need to make it through this situation, sweet one. You and Norm have been through challenges before. You know this. And this is all of this, sweet one, is all for your highest learning and growth. Remember, Donnie, as I have told you, if you only really knew, and I mean really knew, how much you and your precious, precious family are loved and cared for by me, you would never worry again. You would not be afraid. All is well, precious Donnie. All is well. So then I would say the seven-step prayer, you know, asking God to remove all these defects of character, and that I would pray for God's will to be done, not mine. And I would turn my thoughts to someone I can help, and that's how I do a 10th step. And I would like to just read to you a couple of the other, I'm just going to read to you the part where I'm, so I want you to, the takeaway from this is the various times in our 10 steps when we can ask for God's perspective. I'm carrying the vision of God's will, into all my activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. So I'm asking for God's perspective. Help me to see the situation more like you see it, God. Help me to love this person as you would delight. And through the 10th step, so I'm under the dishonesty section, particularly, I'm asking, you know, what am I telling myself that may not be true? And then writing that down, and then asking for God's truth. And then under the inconsiderate, if I can, you know, have I considered pausing and asking to see the situation more like God sees it? And then writing anything down that comes to me. You know, how does, help me to see the situation more like you see it, God. Help me to see this other person more like you see it. Writing that down. And then under the, after I do the fear prayer, God, please remove my fear and direct my attention to what you'd have me be. I write down what God would have me be, and then I say, if God were to speak directly to me regarding this issue, what might my higher power say to me? Or what would infinite love want me to know? And that has really, really helped me in my 10 steps. So I'm going to read to you one more of the end of my 10th step where I've said the fear prayer. And this was on, So this was on a fear of not abandoning myself utterly to God, a fear of living life without my husband. So why do I have the fear? Because the future without my husband appears impossible or, you know, undoable because he's, like, you know, so important to me. So where is my trust and reliance? It's on finite self. Does self-reliance work? No. God, please remove my fear and direct my attention to what you would have me be. God would have me be courageous. God would have me be practicing giving thanks in all circumstances. God would have me be remembering that I am now on a different basis. I am on the basis of trusting, relying on God. God would have me be remembering that I trust infinite God rather than my finite self. And just to the extent that I do as I think God would have me and humbly rely on him, does God enable me to match calamity with serenity? God would have me be fully relying on God, abandoning myself utterly to God. And God says to me, Donnie, my precious one, you were born for this moment, sweetheart. You took birth for this priceless learning and this time of growth that you both are entering upon. You are like a young bird perched at the edge of the nest. Jump out, sweet one. Leap away from all security but me. Leap and spread those fledgling wings and fly, sweet Donnie. You were born for this time. You were made to fly, to soar, with only the updraft of my love to carry you. I am your security, Donnie. I always have been. I am your source, and you, precious one, are mine. Fear not, sweet Donnie. You don't need to be afraid, because I am with you. I will strengthen you. I will help you, and I will lift you up with my loving presence. I am here for you, sweet one, and I am not going anywhere. All is well. All is well. So thank you so much. That's all the time I have. And thank you for allowing me to share some of my 10 steps and the 10-step process of aligning myself with God's flow, God's way, and just listening for God through my 10th step and asking for God's vision, God's perspective to help me. So thank you so much for allowing me to share today, and I pass.
Oh, thank you, Dawn, for this beautiful, instructive, and inspiring presentation this morning on Step 10. Truly a gem for our archives. Thank you so much. The share ID for today, 22,956. That's 22956 for Dawn's presentation this morning. Dawn's contact information will be given at the conclusion of this recording, so do stay tuned for that. And we will now transition to a question and answer segment. You can pose a question to Dawn by pressing star 1 to unmute. I need your first name as well as the first letter of your last name.
Krista S.
Krista S.
Marisa
Matthew G.
Cheryl
Marisa
L.
G. Cheryl L. There was a gentleman in. There was a gentleman in there.
Matthew B.
Matthew B.
Margaret D. Georgia.
Margaret.
Monica L. C.
Monica.
Judy N. Maryland.
Judy N.
Not okay, sure if you were able to hear me. Felicia S.
Felicia, thank you. Gotcha, Felicia. Okay, thus far I have Krista S., Matthew B., Marissa G., Cheryl L., Felicia S., Margaret D., Monica L., Judy N. Let's see if we can get through this list, and then we'll take more if we have time to do so. Just a reminder, questions only, please. One question per customer is always appreciated. Let's start with Krista S. Your question.
Hi. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. John, thank you. That was immensely helpful. My question is, when you went over your column by column 10th step in the cause section, you had said something along the lines of the cause of my resentment is me putting my reliance on my husband instead of my higher power. I'd always thought that the cause column was for what they did rather than what I did, but I've never heard it done that way before. Did I misunderstand that, or is that how you do it, if that makes sense?
The causes. Yeah, because the cause could be what they did. Yes, it could be. But when I'm resentful at something that I'm doing, I can see why you might have been, thinking that. But yeah, the cause can be whatever you feel in your heart is the reason that it's a problem for you. And for me, it was the reason that it was an issue was because I'm, looking to him and relying on him instead of relying on my higher power for my sense of security. So that for me, that was the issue. But yes, the causes can also be, just like you said, I'm resentful at this person, and the causes is what they've done. So, yes, exactly. It can be, whatever you think would be most helpful to express what your emotional disturbance is. So, but, yeah, that can be either one. Thank you so much, Krista.
Thank you.
Thank you, Krista. Matthew B., your turn.
Good morning, everyone. Matthew B. from Long Island, New York. Dawn, thank you so much for speaking your truth. It was relaxing listening to you. My question is, any guidance or version of this throughout the day when something comes up, stopping in the middle of the day to do all this could be very time-consuming. Any guidance? Appreciate it.
Absolutely. The 10th step is a practice, and once I have done this a number of times, for me, I commit to doing this on essentially a, regular basis, a daily basis. And so I memorize, you know, how, what's where. And so for me, it's like a practice. And once I do it enough, it does become a lot easier and faster. But yes, pausing to do this does take time. And so the idea, of course, is to just get into, to use this practice of just pausing, asking for God's perspective, you know, realizing that I'm off my flight plan here and that, you know, I'm feeling disturbed. And so asking God to remove it, and then, you know, looking at it, asking for God's perspective, and then, you know, asking for God to help remove my defects of character and to, you know, see this more like God sees it. And however that would be most loving, there are ways to do this where, you know, you can just do like a spot check, so really fast. There are other ways where you can take time, if you do have time later, to write it out. That can be helpful as well. So just finding whatever is most loving for you, a way to do this. You know, there's many ways. You can just reading through the big book where it describes step 10 and just do it. So there's a whole variety of ways to do it. But yeah, find a way that's most loving for you that helps you to feel better and to go and do that. So there's a whole variety of ways to do it. It doesn't have to be long and drawn out, but sometimes that's more helpful to really take a look and, you know, pause and write it all out so that I can see, you know, what am I telling myself that may not be true in this situation? And then asking God, what's your truth, God? I'm telling myself that this means that, you know, they are me, or this means that they're taking advantage of me, you know, but what's your truth, God? You know, and then writing down what that is, that can be very helpful. So whatever you have time for, whatever you helps you to feel better would be my suggestion, Matthew. But I trust that your higher power is going to lead you to what would be most loving for you, because we're not alone in this. God really is invested. My higher power is really invested in helping me learn and grow, helping me become more effective. So I trust that your higher power is going to lead you to what would be most loving for you, Matthew. Thank you for your question.
Thank you, Matthew B. Marissa G., your turn.
Thank you, Dawn. I will be listening to this again. The 10th step can be very daunting. My question is, when you write out your reasoning and you say you leave it between 19 words, I think for me, I want to tell the story. I want to be right. How do you have suggestions how to keep me out of my own story, or any of us out of our own story, and wanting my perception to be correct and putting the blame on other people? Thank you for the answer.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful question. Thank you so much, Marissa. You know what? The 19 words or less was such a massive gift for me, because I was the person who would be calling up people and talking with them for hours of how bad it was, of how, you know, this and that and the other issue, and going into the details and really getting into, you know, how I was right and the world is wrong, or how, you know, life is treating me poorly. I would just go into so much detail and just rehearse the problem. I would rehearse the issue. And you know what? It didn't help me, and it didn't help the people I was speaking to. So when my sponsor told me, you know, we're going to be doing this like the big book, and we're going to be keeping it to 19 words or less, that was a massive gift for me, because it helped me to drop my story and stop rehearsing the story, the issue. And when I keep it to 19 words or less, you know, I'm just saying like the headline, the title of the story. I'm not getting into all the details, so it doesn't dig me deeper into the resentment. And that's the reasoning behind it. You know, in the big book, it just gives 19 words or less. So it keeps me out of trying to get in there and really, yeah, if this happened to you, you'd be ticked too, you know, because that digs me deeper into the resentment. And the idea of 10th step is I am releasing this to my higher power. I am asking for God's perspective. And that's what I want to focus on, is my higher power's vision, my higher power's guidance. And I'm closing my eyes to the way I think it is, and I'm asking for a new perspective, an inspiration from my higher power. And that's what I'm going to be rehearsing. So that's the beauty of when I do write out, you know, what my higher power says to me, because rather than rehearsing the problem and the issue like I used to do, now I rehearse what my higher power has said to me. And I let those words be what I'm rehearsing. My, you know, I have a director. My director has given me my new lines to rehearse, and that's what my higher power has said to me. And I'll even take a picture of it on my phone, and when that issue comes up again, I just rehearse over and over the loving words my higher power has said to me regarding this issue. And it's been just very, very helpful. So thank you so much, Marissa, for that question.
Thank you, Marissa G. Cheryl L., your turn.
Hi, good morning. Marissa, thank you. I really love this. This is Cheryl L. calling from Florida. This has been a struggle for me for decades, really, the 10th step. My sponsor told me recently that self-condemnation is not a character asset, but a liability. And I think that comes through a lot and really gives me a lot of fear. So how would you suggest I approach this 10th step without condemning myself every single time? Thank you.
Beautiful question, Cheryl. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's why the writing, you know, when I did letters to God was so helpful. Early on, before I knew how to do a 10-step, because when I was asking for God to speak to me, my higher power to speak to me, regarding these issues that I was worried about or afraid of or felt bad about, the incredible love that poured out on the paper was shocking. I am ridiculously loved. You know, how does, it says in the big book, he stood in the presence of infinite power, infinite love. What would infinite love want me to know? Infinite love is, you know, being in the presence of infinite love and having infinite love speak to me is really transformational. That I am, because what fell onto the paper was, I'm delighted in. I am cherished. My higher power is my biggest cheerleader, loves me, delights in me exactly as I am. A beloved member in the rooms would say, God loves you so much, God can't take his eyes off you. Wow. The 10th step process, yeah, I come in with my thinking, which has gotten me off of, you know, gotten me away from God's flow. God's flow. God's flow is infinite love. It delights in me. It cherishes me. That is a beautiful thing in my 10th step. So, yes, I come in with my thinking that thinks, you know, I'm not worth that much. God doesn't love me that much. I'm not worth God's time. And what pours out on the paper when I ask God to speak to me regarding these issues is, my precious, precious, infinite, loved little sweetheart, come here, you little cute one. Let me hold you. I love you so much, I can't take my eyes off you. That's what I experience, and that's what I hope is for you too, Cheryl. And I invite you to give this, you know, asking for God's perspective, asking for infinite love to speak to you and see what happens. And please let me know how that goes.
Thank you, Cheryl L. Mm-hmm. Felicia S., your turn.
Felicia S. from New Jersey. Grateful, recovering compulsive overeater. Thank you for your talk. My question is, if you have something on your 10 step that is constantly coming up and just isn't getting removed, is there anything additional that you do, sort of a resentment that won't end, that's chronic? Thank you.
Beautiful question, Felicia. Thank you so much. Yes, I have found it very, very helpful under the dishonesty section to ask myself what I might be telling myself, torturing myself with, actually, that about this situation that may not be true. And then writing that down, I'm telling myself that, you know, or I'm saying that this means my husband doesn't love me that much. This means this is really a bad thing. And then ask for my higher power's perspective. That can be super helpful. Also, you know, I've heard it say that we're typically not upset for the reason that we think we are. And I found it helpful to ask, you know, for myself and my sponsees, if I'm being triggered by something that keeps coming up and it really is upsetting for me, to ask myself for God's perspective on it, but then also to ask myself, when is the earliest time in my life when I felt that way, when that situation happened? So if somebody, I'll think of a situation in my life. So somebody's upset with me. Somebody's mad at me. And so, when somebody's ticked off at me, I will go back to thinking, you know, my value is to zero. My safety is zero. And then I'm like, where in my earlier history when I was a kid did I feel like when somebody's ticked off at me, my value goes down to zero, my safety goes down to zero, I am not safe? And then I realize that that comes from, you know, a grandfather who was a raging alcoholic and growing up in an alcohol-influenced home where an angry adult would come out of nowhere. And I felt like, oh my goodness, the message was, it's my fault and I am not safe until I please this angry adult. And so my strategy was to, I either tried to hide or I would try to be perfect in order to try to control that over which I was powerless. And all these things I have learned through doing a 10-step and asking for God's perspective of what's going on. What's your truth, God? What can you tell me about this? And realizing that there's nothing that God wants more than to help me learn and grow. And so I'm going to be receiving divine help to be able to do this. So in my 10 steps, it's not just my abilities. I'm asking for God's perspective, and I'm relying on God's abilities to help me learn and grow. It says, you know, it's now we've entered the world of the Spirit. We're now trying to grow in understanding and effectiveness. And I am receiving divine help to be able to do this. So I'm no longer relying on my shaky abilities. I'm relying on the creator of the universe's abilities. Infinite power, infinite wisdom, infinite love is invested in helping me learn and grow. So asking, you know, where in my past have I felt this earliest that I can think of? And then learning from that and doing a 10-step on that person, doing a 10-step on that issue can really be cleansing. And this is coming up, Felicia, and it comes up for me when there's buried treasure there that God wants me to uncover. So doing 10 steps on those earliest issues that I can remember and on those people will uncover that buried treasure. And God cannot wait to help me uncover that priceless buried treasure that's there to help me learn and grow. Thank you so much for your question, Felicia.
Thank you, Felicia S. Margaret D., your question, please.
Thank you, Leah. And thank you for this talk. It's been very enlightening for me. So when you mentioned the phrase that you had gotten off your flight plan, I had a little aha moment that it seems like I had gotten confused with doing a 10th step so that I would feel better versus doing a 10th step so that I would grow in understanding and effectiveness. And my flight plan is not so much now feel better so you don't, you know, compulsively eat or whatever, but it's what can I do for the still suffering compulsive eater? And the 10th step even talks about turning our thoughts to someone we could help. And Dr. Bob talked about paying his debt to the person who passed it on to him. And then, you know, page 77 talks about our real purpose is to be of maximum service to God and our others. Could you speak to that about how, what is the difference between doing these examinations so that we can be more effective in working with other people, what you know, in God's plan for us to help somebody else versus to make me feel more loved or secure or whatever it is. Thank you.
Ah, thank you so much, Margaret D. Yeah, it's very difficult for me to help others if I am emotionally disturbed. And so through the 10th step, God is bringing me back into God's perspective, relying on God's vision, bringing me back into practicing making God's will my only goal, that surrender, that bringing me back into that fourth dimension where God is in charge, God is running the show. And when I do that, I am more aligned with God's will, God's way. And so then, out of gratitude for having received, I feel so much better. I want to try to help others. I want to pass this on. I want to share this with others. And yeah, so the 10th step for me, I come in, you know, because I'm feeling emotional disturbance. I'm not doing, you know, for some reason, I'm just not feeling so well. And so to be able to release that first, and then it says, you know, we turn our thoughts to how we can help others and resolutely turn our thoughts to try to help others. So to me, it's both and. It's yes, I'm using it to feel better, and then I'm turning my thoughts to someone I can help. So I would say for me, it's both. That would be my experience. So thank you so much, Margaret.
Thank you, Margaret D. Now we move on to Monica L. Or Monica, perhaps the last initial is incorrect.
Hello, can I be heard? Hello?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, hi. This is Monica S., as in Smith, from Michigan. And my question is, I just wanted to say I did a two-way prayer this morning, so thank you so much, Dawn. I feel validated, and I learned a lot from your share today. I just have, like, one question, but it's kind of in two parts. And it's when it comes to doing 10 steps, if something comes up that needs it or may need it, sometimes I feel like if I'm well enough to do a 10th step, then I feel like I'm well enough to not do a 10th step. And I'm just wondering, does this type of thinking ever cross your mind? Is so what do you do about it? And I felt, and just the other part of the question is, I feel like you kind of answered it when you talked about walking into unconditional love with a 10th step. and walking away from my egotistical and selfish thinking. And I think my problem is I sometimes want to hold on to my thinking and not let it go through a 10-step. And so how do you overcome the fear-based apprehension, if you ever get that, like the voice in your head that says, oh, there's no time for it, or oh, you don't need it, or oh, I'm better now? That's my question.
Very good. Thank you so much, Monica. Yeah. My mental twist, mental obsession, still does come into play and says, ah, you know, that's, you don't need to, that's not that big of a deal. Just move on, you know. But yeah, that's, so for me, I like to commit to doing a 10-step on a regular basis. So I have made a commitment to myself to look at things on a daily basis. So sometimes I don't even know what I'm feeling. You know, I might just feel this emotional disturbance and just do a 10-step on it to look at my thinking. For me, it is a beautiful thing to not sweep it under the rug and take a look at it and look at how I'm thinking, how I'm feeling, and why, and taking it to God and asking for God's perspective when I discover what it is so helpful. But yeah, that's my my old, you know, mental twist coming into play when it's saying, ah, it's not that big of a deal. Ah, oh, you know, just let it go. Just sweep it under the rug. And that's why I think in step 10, it says, it's easy to let up on this spiritual program of action, and we're headed for trouble if we do. That has been my experience. This is something I vigorously work at. And I want to do that because I know to not do that, then my daily reprieve that's contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition, you know, this is something that I am motivated to work at because it is so such a beautiful gift. It's so life transformative when I am carrying the vision of God's will into all my activities. It's a beautiful practice that really has brought me so much relief that I'm motivated to vigorously work at this. And it is the proper use of my will. So thank you so much for your question, Monica. I'm not able to hear
let's
you.
Let's try to, oh, yes, let's ahead. Try to, thank you, Monica. Let's try to squeeze in Judy N's question. Judy, your turn, please.
Good morning.
Judy N, yes, your good. Question, okay. Please.
My question, thank you, Dawn, for your beautiful share this morning. My question is, when you go through the steps and you've gone through making amends to certain people and their loved ones, their your children, and they don't accept your amends, so you wind up feeling resentment towards them, you do the 10 steps, and then you find yourself doing 10 steps on yourself for how you were before recovery. And what, I guess my question is, you know, you don't know what you don't know when before recovery, and you can't see what you can't see before recovery, but now I'm recovered and I find myself doing 10 steps on myself because of my past behavior. How do you approach that? Is there anything you can add to that process when you can't change or control anyone else, but yet you're living with pain? That's my question. Thank you.
That's a lovely question. Yeah, this is a process. It's not a one and done. It's a beautiful ongoing practice that I'm invited to. Yeah, and I trust, Judy, that more will be revealed. You know, we continue to practice this. And yes, I do 10 steps on myself. You know, I do it on my distractibility, on my perfectionism, on doing it on, you know, that feeling like I have too much to do, or my scattered, you know, that I'm not doing what's important because I get lost in, you know, this of something else. And so, yes, I do it on myself. And I just trust, Judy, that I'm receiving divine help to be able to learn and grow. You know, it says, we've entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. And that I am not alone in this, that my higher power is helping me. And this is all, nothing is meaningless in God's world, I believe, for me. All of these things are working together for my highest learning and growth. Life is a school. I really am here to learn. My challenges are my classes, classes in session, and I can use my challenges as an invitation to a deeper level of surrender. So this is a process. It's a beautiful journey, and my higher power is in charge. My higher power is giving me challenges. You know, what can I learn from this? How would you have me see this, God? Help me to see it more like you see it. How would you have me love myself? And that was a part of my 10 steps as well. Asking God for help to see myself more like God sees me. To use the words that God would have me say when I'm speaking to myself. You know, give me your words, God. Help me to see myself more like you see me. And that's a powerful thing. Help me to see myself more like infinite love sees me. Help me to speak to myself as God would delight in me talking to myself. And I would even tape little notes on my mirror. You know, what? Instead of saying the words that I would always say to myself, I would ask for God's words to speak to myself and write little sticky notes on my mirror, you know, precious sweetheart, you know, you are a magnificent work of God's art. You are beautiful. You are whole. You are loved and valued beyond measure. You know, this is a process, and I trust that God is guiding it, and more will be revealed, Judy. And I'd love to also talk with you, you know, offline regarding these issues as well. So thank you so much for your question.
Thank you, Judy. Thanks to all who posed questions this morning. And of course, thank you, Dawn, for giving so much of yourself this morning. It's been a true delight. Thank you for your beautiful presentation. I'm sure it will help many. The share ID for Dawn's presentation this morning, 22,956. That's 22956 for Dawn's presentation on step 10. We will now close from page 164 from a chapter entitled A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.